From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to think Christianly, always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, and to do this with gentleness and respect. That's why your special gift can help provide multitudes of Bible Answer Man listeners with genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI until midnight tonight, Eastern Time. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online at equip.org. Well, now here's the Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And it is incredible to think that we are on the eve of a brand new year. It is going to be just a few hours and we will usher in 2016. We don't know what 2016 holds, but we know who holds the year 2016. And we know that we can face everything that comes our way, because our Lord will give us the grace that we need when we need it. Oftentimes does not give us that grace even a moment before, but we can face the future with faith because of our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As always, the Bible Answer Man broadcast is heard live on these stations. You can call in your questions when you dial in 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We won't be taking calls today because I have something special for you. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants will be with us right to midnight. You can call 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I hope you're applauding out there the commitment it takes to be here until midnight on New Year's Eve is quite something. It's voluntary on the part of our staff. I thank them. I hope you appreciate their dedication as well. The core values of the Christian Research Institute are values that are necessary now like never before. I think about the ABCs, easy to remember, but they are of critical importance. Apologetics. This is not an apology. It is a defense of the faith, and as such, the handmaiden to evangelism. God using well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to share the truth and life and grace that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. And this need for apologetics, the defense of the faith, has never been greater. Think about what's happened just this year. Attacks by the new atheists have come in like a flood. I talked this year about Alex Rosenberg, a professor of philosophy at Duke University, an author of a book titled The Atheist Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions. And what always gets me about this is that here is a man impacting the lives of students who oftentimes are not inoculated against his nonsense, a nonsense that has incredible consequences for people. When he says the physical facts fix all the facts, it sounds cute. It's deadly. What is the reality of nature? Well, in his view, it's what physics says it is. Because he believes that all that exists in time, in space, in matter, in energy, is explained by atheistic scientism. So here's a man who will say to his students, is there a God? No. What is the purpose of the universe? There is no purpose to the universe. What is the meaning of life? No meaning. Why am I here? Well, it's just dumb luck. Is there a soul? Are you kidding me? Is there free will? Not a chance. What's the difference, he asks his students, between right and wrong, between good and bad? His answer, there is no moral difference between them. Ever wonder, while campuses are being submerged in this kind of reasoning, why things go haywire? Rosenberg says, there's no meaning to history. There's no meaning to anything else we care about. If you're going to be atheistic, you just have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism. And just in case, he says, as though it's funny, there's always Prozac. Well, the reason I mention apologetics is that we are committed to always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. But we will give an answer, and we're equipping millions of people to do the same. The B, of course, stands for biblical literacy. I'll talk about that in just a moment. The C, countering cults and world religions. And when we think about world religions, our mind immediately goes to Islam. It is a world religion, and there is a narrative for that world religion today. The narrative is Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. Now, there's a sense in which I have sympathy for the narrative because there are two portraits for Islam. One I experienced when I was in Tehran, speaking at the University of Tehran in Ulaanbaatar. While I was there, I met all kinds of wonderful Persians. That was a portrait for me of peace and tolerance, kindness, generosity, helpfulness. But there's another face of Islam. There's another portrait that we can paint. It's realistic. If I was to go to Saudi Arabia, I've got a good friend there, and I asked for a tour of the Kaaba in Mecca, I could not go. Why? Because according to Saudi Arabia, religion is not just a system of thoughts. It's not a sanitized Western ideal. It is a social, political system that has law associated with it, and that law prohibits me from going to the Kaaba. If I were to present the gospel openly on the streets of Riyadh, I would quite literally be in danger of being decapitated, crucified, or stoned to death. This is not something that has happened in the past. This is something that is happening now. As I speak, there are Christian Syrians who are facing genocide. 1.1 million Christians. Of that number, 800,000 have been exiled or executed. This is a horrendous evil that is taking place in our time. And thus, once again, it's very important to understand Islam. We must know what Muslims have given their life to. And first of all, it is a pattern of Muhammad. Because Muhammad in Islam is the model man, and there's not a single Muslim in the entire world that does not revere Muhammad, does not want him to be the pattern for their lives. Now, some have a mistaken notion of what his life was all about. But that, again, is why we must be informed and why the Christian Research Institute is committed to teaching people the truths about cults and world religions, not to win arguments, but to win people. This year, I had the opportunity to witness a process that took an entire year to a Muslim who has now committed his life to Jesus Christ. with passion, not just as a conversion, but a commitment to reach other Muslims with the gospel. And when Muslims come to faith in Christ, it's not a small commitment. In most cases, it means a loss of their cultural identity and a loss of their most intimate relationships, including the closest to them, their own families. So again, today is not a day to frolic around in the Christian Disney world, as it were. It is a time to be sober and serious. It is a time in which we are deeply grateful that you are standing with us in the battle for life and truth. We cannot do what we do without you, and therefore I'm appealing to people, not for any other reason than the gospel, to stand with us, because truth matters. Life matters even more. What I mean by that is simply to say the menu matters. We better care about the menu, the Word of God. But the menu points us to something even more significant, and that is a living, vital, dynamic relationship with the Lord of the universe. This is what we're about as an institute, and it's why I'm asking you to stand with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Resource consultants are going to be available, as mentioned, until midnight tonight to receive your tax-deductible gift in 2015. So you can just call 888-7000 and the letters CRI, again, 888-7000 and the letters CRI, or 888-7000-274, 888-7000-274. You can also go online at our secure donation page, equip.org. You can see my video there on year-end giving and sort of a recapitulation of what's happened this year. Or, of course, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be sure to have your gift postmarked by December 31st. Also, a quick note that you can go to the website and get my legacy reading plan. You can download it, again, equip.org. Let me get back now to what I'm setting up for the rest of today as well as for tomorrow, and that is a message entitled Mining the Bible for All Its Wealth. And as you listen, I want you to remember that you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that you can understand what God has freely given to us. By the Spirit, you can recognize the glorious truth that we are the New Jerusalem depicted in Revelation chapter 21. And therefore, like a precious jewel, we are clear as crystal. We shine with the glory of God. Our prayers go up as though they were golden bowls full of incense. Mining the Bible for all its wealth is going to be transformational for you in the year 2016, and that is precisely why I want to end the year with an emphasis on a core value of this ministry, biblical literacy. If we don't have it, who will? If not now, when? So join me as I bring to you a message entitled Mining the Bible for All Its Wealth. The text, Revelation 21, 9 through 17.
Thank you very much for that warm welcome. I want to start this evening by going right to the Word of God. I'm thinking right now of the vision that John had on the island of Patmos, where one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to John, "Come, let me show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God. and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it was long. He measured its wall and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass.
To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute, call now, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. This is the last day to give your gift to help close our final year-end funding gap. Now don't tune out. We'll rejoin An Evening with Hank Hanegraaff, How to Mine the Bible for All Its Wealth, in just a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI
or visit equip.org. Equip.org. On this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, we're bringing to you An Evening with Hank, How to Mine the Bible for All Its Wealth, an event that took place at Colonial Presbyterian Church in Kansas City. Let's rejoin Hank now as he recites from memory a portion of the book of Revelation.
The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it was long. He measured its wall and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I didn't see a temple in that city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there'll be no sin there. Amen. The honor and the glory of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that is a majestic linguistic tapestry. That is so beautiful that it is hard, apart from the words themselves, to fully codify its elegance, its surpassing brilliance. And yet, dear saints, apart from understanding the art and science of biblical interpretation, we have no hope whatsoever of mining that passage for all its wealth. And that is precisely what I want to talk to you about tonight. Mining the Bible for all its wealth. I wrote a book some time ago titled, Has God Spoken? The book designed to demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority for faith and practice. But if the answer that we give to the question, has God spoken, is yes, the attendant question becomes this: if God has spoken, what has God said? And that entails learning to mine the Bible for all its wealth. Now, some of you may not know this. If you've listened to the Bible Answer Man broadcast long enough, you probably do. But I have a very strong addiction, apart from memorizing the Bible. And that addiction is golf. It is the most torturous pastime known to humankind. Having played golf for 50 years, having played all over the world, having played in all kinds of different tournaments, why is it that so many people torment themselves playing this game? They simply can't do it. And they end up frustrated because they have $500 sweaters and 50 cent swings. Ben Hogan, arguably the greatest ball striker ever, wrote a book on the six fundamentals of golf. Sometimes they're called the five fundamentals, but in essence, they are six fundamentals. The grip, the posture, the stance, the swing plane, on the forward swing, the back swing, how the parts work, and the synergy of all the parts together. And Ben Hogan is famous for saying that anyone with average coordination can shoot in the 70s or shoot very close to par. And yet people struggle with the game of golf. Why? Because they've never mastered the basics. And I contend tonight that what Hogan said about the game of golf is true about the art and science of biblical interpretation. People who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips struggle with biblical interpretation. Why? Because they've never mastered the art and science of biblical interpretation. By the way, it is a science in that rules apply. And I want to talk about those six rules tonight. But, dear saints, it is an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. And just as mastering the basics in golf allows you a sublime rather than a torturous experience, so too mastering the art and science of biblical interpretation will open Scripture to you so that you can behold its majesty once again. Amen. Think about this. The author is the one who spoke. And 170 billion galaxies leapt into existence, each with 100 billion stars. Or pause to ponder for just a moment that a little period at the end of a sentence contains 100 billion atoms of carbon. To see just one of them, you'd have to stretch it out the size of a football field. Ah, the one who penned these words is surpassingly great. Amen. And he is the one who loves you and knit you together in your mother's womb. Would you not want to hear from him? Amen. To be able to decode his words? To be able to get a fuller grasp of the passage that I just quoted? Well, the first principle that one has to master is the literal principle of biblical interpretation, which simply means that one must learn to interpret the Bible as literature. It is infallible, inspired, inerrant literature, but it is literature nonetheless. And so we must understand that the literal principle of biblical interpretation is not to read the Bible in a wooden, literalistic sense, but rather in the sense in which it is intended. To read the Bible literalistically is to reduce it to nonsense. Like taking the phrase that I quoted earlier, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Try taking that literally. Or the great prostitute who sits on many waters, which John interprets as peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. That's not my reading into the text. That's his interpretation of the text in the text itself. To read that passage literalistically, again, is to miss its meaning. To take seriously the literal principle of biblical interpretation is conversely to illuminate its meaning. And while the Bible is literature, we must ever be mindful that it is not merely literature because of the illumination of the Holy Spirit that takes place each and every time we, on bended knee, give ourselves to the Word of God. Then the Spirit begins to illumine us so that we might see the treasure. The way of the wicked, Proverbs Solomon, is like darkness. They do not understand that over which they stumble. But the way of the Spirit is light, as Paul put it. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. By the illumination of the Spirit, we recognize that the New Jerusalem is far more than streets of gold. It is far more than gates of pearl. It is you and I, the great multitude of God's people, in perfect symmetry, providentially sealed. John uses the image of a city to communicate the people of God. The full complement of God's people from every language and tongue and tribe and nation, from every epoch of time throughout all of history. To misunderstand that is to misunderstand that God even now is preparing a bride. The book of Revelation, ultimately seven letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. What we might well refer to as a persecuted bride. And that bride is not only being persecuted by a beast, but by a prostituted bride. A bride that has been called to be a light to the nations, but instead prostituted herself with the nations. But ultimately, John gives a picture in Revelation chapter 21 of a purified bride, carried by the bridegroom over the threshold of Jordan into a new heaven and a new earth, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband.
The Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI's growing array of outreaches have never been more needed than they are today. And that's why we won't be shy in asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Christian Research Institute through your persistent prayers and generous financial support. Stand with Hank and CRI in the battle for life and truth and receive a full recording on audio CD of his message, How to Mind the Bible for All Its Wealth. Call 888-7000-CRI until midnight tonight, Eastern Time, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Stay tuned. In just a few moments, Hank will continue to lay out principles necessary to rightly understand the Bible as the Christian Research Institute presents more of An Evening with Hank Hanegraaff, How to Mind the Bible for All Its Wealth. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. As Hank Hanegraaff explains, all too often we find ourselves living in abject spiritual poverty, all the while standing on top of a mine of infinite wealth. Having no concept of diamonds, we settle for glass. That's why every believer must learn to mine the Bible for all its wealth. To equip believers in the art and science of biblical interpretation, Christian Research Institute and the Bot Radio Network hosted An Evening with Hank Hanegraaff, Mining the Bible for All Its Wealth, which we present to you on today and tomorrow's special editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's rejoin Hank as he describes the glorious future that awaits all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ at the consummation of history.
Ultimately, John gives a picture in Revelation chapter 21 of a purified bride carried by the bridegroom over the threshold of Jordan into a new heaven and a new earth, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. And then John hears a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making everything new." Then he said to me, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they are true.
Amen.
This universe, well, it groans in travail, but it is awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, and we ourselves as well. So John is writing about you and I, the full complement of God's people, that one day will inhabit not the Jerusalem below, but the Jerusalem above. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, she is free, and she is our mother. That's our inheritance, this universe transformed. And we too. We right now, we're very much like the caterpillar, aren't we? We are sort of crawling along the branch. And then we sow the seeds of our own demise, a chrysalis, in the case of the caterpillar. And there in that chrysalis, that casket, the constituent parts devolve into a mysterious molecular mixture. But out of that comes a brand new being.
Amen.
The old caterpillar couldn't dream about having a proboscis by which to indulge in the nectar of life. And that's what we will do, because the imago Dei within us will be completely restored. And we will be able to do what we were created for. We will be able to have fellowship perfectly with the one who created us and with one another.
Amen.
No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. By the way, that butterfly no longer merely has eyes that can distinguish between light and dark, but now the butterfly has eyes that have a field of vision and color acuity that exceeds even our own. And that too is an analogy for what we will see when we experience God in his essence. No one can do that now. We can experience his energies, but we cannot experience his essence. Then we will be able to experience God. And that is precisely what we are designed to do. We will be full to the measure. Well, this isn't part of the message, but let me stop and ask you a question. If that's true, why are we being conformed to the image of the world rather than being transformed by the renewing of our minds?
Amen.
Focus your mind on Scripture. Ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate, and you will, not might or could, but you will be transformed. We are chasing all kinds of paltry substitutes. Here, the Word of God is the transformational agent. Like the illumination principle, there's another principle, the third principle, that is transcendently important. It is called the grammatical principle of biblical interpretation. And I know a lot of you are thinking right now, I can't do grammar. But thankfully, you and I are hardwired for grammar from birth. And therefore, we shouldn't be surprised that the basic principles of language that we unconsciously absorb in early childhood and consciously internalized from grade school onward are foundational to the grammatical principle of biblical interpretation. Let me talk about just a few of them in interest of time. One, semantics. Semantics is, it's the science of meaning. And some people say, well, it's just a matter of semantics, but semantics has the power to fuel some of the most pernicious cults in history, including the Jehovah's Witnesses. They look at a word like firstborn, and they reinterpret it. Why? Because they are reading a meaning into it that is completely foreign from the Word of God itself. And so they say, firstborn, Jesus is the firstborn of God. Therefore, he is the first creation of God. God created him, and he becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. But that's not what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Not all other things, but all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The context lets us know the meaning, which is not that Jesus is the first one created or the first one born, but rather that he is the preeminent one. Very much like David. He wasn't the first of Jesse's sons. He was the last of Jesse's sons, and yet he was preeminent, Israel's quintessential king. Metaphor. We have to understand metaphor. In fact, perhaps perceive that all language is a dead reef of metaphor. And the Bible is no exception. Unless and until we understand its metaphors, we are bound to mistake its meanings. When the Bible speaks of God's throne flaming with fire, we intuitively recognize that an implied comparison is in view. Likewise, when we read in Revelation of the lamps of fire before God's throne, we apprehend that there's more going on than mere fire. In fact, as John explains, the lamps of fire are the seven spirits of God. Even that requires interpretation. Or the golden bowls full of incense, John says they are the prayers of the saints. Or the golden lampstands, they are the churches. The fine linen, bright and clean, they are the righteous acts of the saints. And in similar fashion, the images of pure gold and pearly gates are majestic metaphors describing a far more intoxicating reality. We must ever be mindful of this reality. The Bible is not a mere book of riddles, perfectly suited for a shallow post-Christian mind. It is a book of symbols that are deeply rooted in Scripture. The reason we have difficulty understanding them is we simply don't know our Bibles. Instead of interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture, we go off on subjective flights of fancy, as John reminds us repeatedly. His prophetic words are in keeping with the words of the Old Testament prophets. Much more could be said. Let me move on to the fourth basic of biblical interpretation. It is known as the historical principle. Unless we understand the historical context of any given book of the Bible, we have little hope of grasping its meaning. John wrote the book of Revelation that I was quoting from in a particular historical context. We must ever be mindful of the fact that John says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to a servant, John, who testifies to everything that he wrote. And then the text says this, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those ultimately who understand it and take it to heart. Why? Because, says John, the time is near. It is absolutely unconscionable to take the words soon and near and render them as meaning anything else. This is the prologue to his letter. Just as we would be woefully misinformed to take a number like 1,000 and read it in a wooden literalistic fashion. Why? Because if you interpret Scripture in light of Scripture, we see that 1,000 as a whole number is used over and over again and always symbolically. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God shows his loving kindness to 1,000 generations. God says to the Israelites, I will increase your number 1,000 times. And time permitting, I could give you 1,000 more examples. So if we're interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture, we recognize that Revelation was written to 7 churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're told to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for 10 days, but their vindication is going to be an eternal, an everlasting vindication.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We will continue Hank Hanegraaff's message on tomorrow's program, in which he'll pick up with the typology principle of biblical interpretation, essential in understanding the relationship between the Old and New Testaments. So be sure to tune in. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth and receive as thanks for your gift the full recording of An Evening with Hank Hanegraaff, Mining the Bible for All Its Wealth, call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. This is the last day to give your gift to help close our final year-end funding gap. You can also write to us at CRI Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.